The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's a Warriors three, no good. Rebounded by Kessler Edwards, and that will do it. You hear the thunderous "Light the Beam" chant in the background. The final 4 seconds tick away. Davion walks it into the front court. The horn sounds, and the Sacramento Kings have won in a live or die last game scenario, win or go home, and the Kings managed to win. Steve Kerr, Mike Brown embrace at center court, and you wonder about the Steve Kerr dynasty and all the success of the Warriors. This year is a number 10 seed being bounced in the play-in opportunity. 118 to 94 is the final score.
I didn't realize the first couple times we played the final call.
It was always in there.
You could hear him in the background. Joining us right now, she had to, this point, Ben, I called her one thing. Let's call her the Clay Thompson of guests on this program because the poor thing had usually had to call in after devastating losses on a Tuesday. Well, she calls in. And arguably the biggest win in 20 years for the Sacramento Kings. The beautifully intellectual, wonderful, very good person, homemade dog food making, starts her taxes in August, Katie Christensen. Good morning.
I wish I could start my taxes in August. That would make life a lot easier. Good morning, guys.
Did you finish yours? Or did you do the extension?
Oh, I actually got mine done pretty early this year. And by that, I mean like in February. But, you know, I have a tax person because I've never done my own taxes because since I was an adult and making money, when you're in the WNBA or the NBA or whatever, you have to file taxes in every state that you play in. Mm. So it's not easy. But yes, I just found out on Monday. So it's at least done and paid for and all that.
But I've witnessed you, Katie. You are a very thorough and note taker. Yep. So that's just to help out your tax person.
Yeah, no, I do a complete spreadsheet of all of my expenses in every category, send it off to them, and they can determine, you know, because I work from home. Like, there's all these things. We're all looking for tax breaks. So take advantage of what you can.
I believe they pronounce that anal, I think, when it comes to how she is with her taxes. Katie, are you a fan of turkey sausage?
I don't know that I've ever had it, but I'm trying to figure out where this is going.
There was a guy next to me yelling. Give me the yell, Chris.
Turkey sausage!
He was yelling turkey sausage all night.
Yeah, what is that about? What is that?
Well, we got him to call in. He was sitting next to on Mason's side, my son, and he just kept yelling turkey sausage towards me and then at Draymond Green. And it turns out that he knows the lady who he referred to as the portly woman who owns a bakery in Danville, and explained that Draymond Green would order a turkey sausage breakfast sandwich and would take an hour to come pick it up. And then she would yell at him because he always ate cold turkey sausage. So this guy's big burn on Draymond was yelling turkey. And we're just, you know, there's Light the Beam, there's Feel the Roar, there's Here We Stay.
DeMontis Sabonis,
Keegan Murray. Yeah. I think, honestly, Scott Moak, we need to get him to go turkey sausage. We're kind of adopting it as the de facto postseason chant, Katie.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, all-stars and all that stuff. I don't know that that's an all-star burn right there.
No. Okay. Well, that's the thing. I think it was a Trojan horse. I think Draymond's used to be calling every name in the book. Yeah. The horrible things are said to him. He didn't see it coming at all. And I think he realized that I am the cold turkey sausage guy. And that's why he was so deflated last night, Katie. Key to the game.
Yeah, key to the game, 100%.
Yes.
What was the key to the game for you, seriously? We were doing this earlier. This is such, and I know if there's one thing I know about Katie, she likes to be put on the spot and be forced to make a decision. We wanted to hand out a game ball. Now, I will just say, you could make a case for pretty much everybody in the starting lineup. I gave mine to Harrison Barnes because I was thinking with my heart and just how much I know last night meant to him, and he obviously played well. But Keegan, you know, for sure. Keon Ellis, what an amazing line. You gave yours to
I did Keon,
right.
But it could have been Keegan or Fox or Sabonis.
Yeah. Who would you? You got to give Katie's game ball brought to you by whoever.
Turkey sausage.
Turkey sausage. Who are you giving yours to?
So, yeah, you're right. You can make a case for a lot of people. So I have an answer, but I'm also going to give you a couple other answers. First quarter ball Christ. Goes to Keegan, right?
Yeah.
He really, like, set the tone offensively, all of that stuff. He started out guarding Clay or Steph, which, you know, I'm not surprised by. And he did a great job. And I'm not surprised that they switch it up because you got to give a steady – you know, diet of who and what is coming defensively with Steph. Fourth quarter game ball goes to Harrison Barnes. He had 9 points in the fourth quarter, more than anybody else on either side. But the game ball is Keon Ellis to me. Like he was so good and so timely with his shots and did such a great job defensively. I mean, 3 blocks, 3 steals, when you look at the fourth quarter and Steph Curry went 3 of 4 in the fourth quarter from the field, first of all, only 4 shots. He only took one three. He missed it. And it was just, he did such an excellent job of taking on that challenge. But also, you look at it, look at the Warriors. They had Trayce Jackson-Davis. They had BP. These are guys that are rookies that have been thrust into big roles with the Warriors. And I felt both of them were just eaten alive by the moment. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Keon, who I know he's not really a rookie, but he's a rookie in terms of being a part of it and being impactful. And this is a guy that was like in and out of the lineup playing a, kind of a very depleted role, if you will, early in the season to being in the starting lineup and playing in his first massive game. And man, like, the moment was not too big for him. And so, to me, the game ball goes to Keon.
Katie, Keon was a huge part of it, but the collective defense, I don't know if they've played better this year. That four-quarter performance was as locked in from start to finish, the 50-50 balls, the closing of a defensive set, the rebounding. What did you see from them defensively?
That, to me, is why they won the game. And it's really crazy, you guys, because this has been such an up and down season, right? And the expectations and everything. And I think that, and I understand that, fans and people, that are following the Kings can be like, well, it's been disappointing. You go from being like the darling of the NBA a year ago, Cinderella story, 3rd in the Western Conference, playoff appearance, this isn't that number one offense in NBA history and so on and so forth. And then it's like, well, you're not meeting the expectations this season. Well, I kind of disagree in the sense that when you look at it from like a 30,000 foot point of view, take the Warriors, for example. They were 6th in the Western Conference last year, and they had 2 more wins this season than they did last year, and they were 10th. Like the scope of the Western Conference was so different this year than it was last year because most teams were healthy, right? The Kings have dealt with a ton of injuries in comparison to a year ago. Throughout the course of the season, they've missed guys for long stretches of time. And then obviously to have Malik and Kevin, Kevin with the season ending injury and Malik with the knee injury that came against Dallas. And we still don't know his status. And he's certainly not going to be available for Friday, but if they advance after that, what is his status? So they're dealing with all of these things. But the big thing that everyone has always complained about is defense with this team. Well, this is not like – I'm trying to – how do I put this into words nicely? Watching the last TNT game against New Orleans from home and listening to like Chuck and everyone in the, you know, TNT, you know, studio talking about how terrible the Kings defense is. Well, it was not great against New Orleans because Kings just quite honestly don't match up well against them. And it's like, are you watching? Have you been watching any other games? Have you been paying attention? Are you just watching the game that you know, is being played that day that you guys are covering? Because since March 1st to the end of the regular season, the Kings, that's 24 games, you guys, the Kings are third in the NBA in defensive rating. Third, 109.5 per game, right? The two teams above them, Orlando and Miami. And 24 games, you guys, is almost a third of the season. And they finished the season, I think, at 14 in defensive rating. They were 24th a year ago. Yes, their offensive rating is lower, but they're playing both sides now. And I can make the argument that this team is so much better defensively than people give them credit for, because I don't think people are really paying that close of attention. And I get it. It's hard. There's 30 teams and blah, 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 and all the things. And, you know, the national schedule and so on and so forth, it definitely highlights different teams. So to me, the key to really the Kings surviving the end of the regular season with the injuries and then that win last night, defensively, you guys, they have been so, so much more impactful than I think any of us ever anticipated that they even could be.
That's TV analyst Katie Christensen, who joins us each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Katie, to your point about the season, the ups and downs, as we say, there's been quite a few candidates for Willodes, as I talked to you on the show earlier. You know, the Kings were 0-6 in Wogos in their entire history. Would you consider last night the Bewody?
What the heck is a Willode?
A Willode is the worst loss of the year, of course. A Wogo would be winner go home.
Okay.
And last night, I'm asking if last night was the Bewody, the best win of the year. Come on. You're an analyst. What an idiot. So she's sorry. An analyst. So
I didn't know I needed like a cheat code to figure out all of your
These are
lingo.
Terms. Do you know what a spray three is? I mean, these are basketball terms, Katie.
Okay.
Obviously,
yeah,
last night was the best one of the year, obviously. But I'm going to ask you this. Look, you haven't been here since 85, but you've been here a while now. None of us are getting any younger, you know. I'm asking you, don't be prisoner of the moment like I am. Is this the best Kings win of your career here?
Oh, I think without a doubt. Yeah. In terms of what it means.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
There's been great wins, comeback wins, dominant performances, so on and so forth throughout my time here. But in terms of what they mean and the value to the season, like when you have a big win in an 82-game season, it's not as meaningful as a playoff win or now in the current NBA play-in situations where it is like a win-or-go-home dynamic. And to have it be a one-off game is even more amazing, right?
Right.
I think when you're in a seven-game series with a team and like you look at game six last year where the Kings had to win, yeah, they had to win to continue, right? But this one is different in the meaning of like, yeah, that you had one chance to do it. You have seven in a seven-game series to like come out with the ultimate win, which is advancing. So in terms of, you know, last night and what the play-in now represents in the NBA, these games are really exciting. And I actually love the play-in tournament now because –
Me too.
And not just because of the situation the Kings are in, but I mean, you guys, we have been watching more like closely the finale and the end of the regular season, like the final, like look at the final 20 games and even, you know, even midway point of the season, you know, you're looking at the Lakers and the Warriors and, you know, 9, 10, 10, 11, like it's going back and forth. Like we weren't paying attention to that before. No one cared. And it made everything more meaningful. And then you look at the Warriors and how great they were kind of the last couple months of the season. They were brilliant. They were 10-2 to finish the season, better than any team in the league. And they were still in 10th place. So to me, it is such a great addition to the NBA schedule. But in terms of the Kings winning last night, like it was terrifying going in because you got one chance, one shot at it. And man, did they step up to the moment. And Mike Brown talks before the game, like first question was like, where do you think your team is? Like, how do you feel going into this one? And he's like, I feel like they're confident. I feel like they're ready. I feel like they're focused. But the most important thing he said is, and I feel like they believe. I feel like they have a belief that they're going to win this game. And he's talked so much about the importance of belief. And he talks about the head coach at St. Mary's, who he's really close to. And this has been an ongoing thing that he has mentioned over the last couple of years, is the key is trying to get your team to believe what they're capable in. And when they stepped out on the floor in that first quarter, I'm like, wow, like, you know, he's right. Like, he has now successfully instilled a belief in this team that even when their backs are against the wall, when it's an elimination game, that they have the ability, regardless of who is healthy and on the floor, they have the ability to come out and get a victory. And so that's what I felt from that game. Like, I'm like, wow, you know, 10 points, 20 points. I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I think it's safe to say that they really believe that they can do this.
He instilled that belief, I think, into the team, Katie, to your point, and individuals. And a guy like Keegan Murray, who I think last year in the postseason, in that series against the Warriors, got better as it went along and looked more and more comfortable. Yesterday, I mean, I felt like Keegan thought, I'm just going to go from the get-go. Yeah. I loved his aggressive nature. And on a night filled with stars, the end, he's the high scorer with 32. What do you think about Keegan's performance last night?
One of the things that has changed with all the injuries this season is that Mike Brown has been more involved in play calling. Normally with their system and what we saw last year and early in the season is there's a lot of freedom for the guys on the floor to make the decision of what they're going to run, how they're going to attack. And that's kind of, to a certain degree, there's been frustration from fans because when it's like, oh, we need more from Keegan, or we need more from Kevin, or we need more from Harrison. Well, every game has a different flow to it. And so if someone gets going early or there's something they're trying to take advantage of defensively, yeah, some guys can seem really quiet. But as the season has gone on, and we saw it for a chunk of time where they were calling plays at the beginning of the game for Harrison Barnes, and he had that stretch where he was really good late in the season. And it's like, oh, see, this is what we need. We need him to be more aggressive and more active. It's like, that was intentional. That was by design. That was Jay Triano and Mike Brown looking at the matchups and saying, oh gosh, well, the worst defender most nights is going to be put on Harrison from the beginning. So let's try and utilize this matchup and that matchup. And then with Keegan last night, Mike Brown, first play of the game was drawn up for Keegan. Second year player getting the first play and then responding, and then they just kept going back to him. And I was thinking as I was watching, and it was such a cool moment. I'm like, he's so different as a player than he was a year ago. He was a 3-point shooter, really kind of hit him defensively. He would rebound a little. But this year, like, he came up with so many rebounds last night, you guys. Like, you talk about the rebounding differential. Kings had 15 offensive rebounds. Domantas Sabonis is the leading rebounder in the NBA and the leading offensive rebounder. He had one offensive rebound last night. It was everybody else that got involved. They did a great job of trying to make him, you know, ineffective on the boards, and he still had a double-double. He still had 13 boards, I believe. But it was on the defensive end. And so for Keegan to come in and he was making threes, he was driving the lane, he's got the midi, you know, and he's playing defense on Steph and, you know, rebounded. Like, it was such a cool moment to witness. Like, wow. And I said it at the beginning of the season, I was like, Keegan Murray is going to be an all-star someday. That is how good I think he is. And just the juxtaposition from year one to year two in a massive game, and for him to step up like that, it was so amazing. It was so amazing to be a part of.
Katie Christensen joining us. Got a lot of stuff for you here. Number one, and we don't really, you know, no time to, we'll comment on this later, but just breaking news real quick. According to Shams Charania, Jontay Porter, the brother of Michael Porter Jr., has been given a lifetime ban from the NBA. The NBA's investigation found that he had, quote, disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes on top of betting on NBA games. So a young player, is his career is over for those mistakes. You know, but that's good because the NBA, of course, would never take gambling money anyways. That's a whole different thing. But this guy's throwing games or throwing his own time. So that's number one. Number two, to your point about Keegan, an NBA or a Sacramento record, by the way, in the playoffs, 8 three-pointers last night for Keegan Murray. And this is a sloppy segue, but this also absolutely surprised me. It's sloppy in the sense that we were just talking about Jontay Porter, and I'm going to bring up betting odds. But the odds have hit for Friday's game. And Katie, we usually play this game. I'll bring you in. And I know you're going to love this because you know nothing about betting. So I'll let Jason start to give you an idea. Chris, your mic on too, please. I want to go around the room here. The Sacramento Kings take on the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. As we know, they're 0-5 against them this year. They have lost by a collective amount of points that is a record amongst teams that have lost to any other teams. 0-5. So the Kings are at the Pelicans on Friday. Chris, why don't you lead us off? Who is favored? But by how much?
I am going to say the Pelicans by 3.5.
3.5, okay.
We don't about Zion, but even with that, I'm going to say Pelicans by 6.5.
6.5, okay. I believe the Kings have lost to the Pelicans somewhere around 20 points on average in 5 games. Katie, I let Chris and Jason go first so you get an idea. Who is favored in what? You know what? Actually, never mind. I don't know the rules. I'm not having – you know what? I just realized I'm not going to put you in a position to talk about betting.
Yep,
so.
I can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll skip
right
Katie.
After the DeJounte.
I know, right? Because I'm an idiot.
I take the course. I do all the stuff. We have to do an online course. Yep. All the stuff.
Just like, caught it. Just caught it. Yep. So you can just listen in. Just listen in on your own, guys. The Pelicans are favored by 1.5.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. Breaking news. The Sacramento Kings are 1.5-point favorites in New Orleans.
That's
got to
be Zion related.
It has to be. How is that?
And we don't know that he's out.
And just so people understand who are new to the show, we don't use the betting lines for betting, 1-800-GAMBLER, obviously. What we do is it's very interesting to see where Vegas is on these things because a lot of times it's a predictor for injuries and stuff. These are the guys that have all the inside scoops, right? The fact of the matter that the Kings are favored at the open, which I imagine is going to change to a pick 'em by Friday because there's probably going to be a lot coming out on the other side, scares me to death. All right, cut, paste, move on. Now I can get back to Katie. Katie, we're trying not to look ahead today. We're trying to enjoy this game and this win. Can you analyze a way for the Kings to beat the Pelicans based on what you've seen so far this year? Is there something we're missing?
Well, I'll explain to you why it's a really difficult matchup for the Kings. Yeah. And I got into it a little bit on the pre and post game show last night. The reality of it's crazy, the NBA, right? Like, because the Lakers have been brilliant against the Pelicans. It's not a good matchup for the Pelicans to go against the Lakers. They have struggled with them this year. On the flip side, we have struggled with the Pelicans and dominated the Lakers, right? How does that happen? Well, first of all, the three-point shooting of the Pelicans is far superior to the Lakers. And Domantas Sabonis has absolutely dominated Anthony Davis, dominated him. That has been a huge factor in that matchup. But when you look at why the Lakers have been good against the Pelicans, it's because they have size that we do not. We struggle with the size of them paired with their three-point shooting because they have so many three-point shooters. You have to blitz, you have to double team. And not only do they have multiple three-point shooters that you can kick it to and they can knock it down, you kind of pick your poison on who's the hot guy. When you play the Pelicans, there's a list of hot players, which is the ones in terms of how you defend the three-point shot. There's like 7 of them. I'm not joking, you guys. Normally, maybe you might have 4 on a team. But then you have Zion, who you kick the ball to out of a double team, and he immediately flash drive, put it on the ground, and attacks like a freight train going down the center of the key. Kings don't match up well with Zion. That's the problem. The Lakers, you can put LeBron on him. Size, strength, it's a lot different ball game when you're playing in that matchup. So to me, who's available obviously is very impactful. I have a big question about Brandon Ingram too. He only played 4 minutes in the fourth quarter against the Lakers. Something's going on with him. I haven't had time yet today to look into that. Not going to lie to you guys either. I'm not going to look into it today. I'll look into it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to enjoy this win today. So to me, the question is, can you in some way make the Pelicans struggle from the three-point line? Because that literally erases so much of their potency on the offensive end. You look at their game against the Lakers last night. They were down big in the first half. They shot horribly from three-point range. Horribly. That is not the team that we saw. And that's not the team most teams see on most nights, right? And so the crazy thing about the three-point shot in the NBA and a play-in situation, you guys, you can be a three-point shooting team and struggle for a game in a seven-game series, and it's going to even out. A play-in game, you have to be good. And so if in some world the Kings can do a great job in terms of defending the three and pairing that, hopefully New Orleans has an off night, I think you have a legitimate shot of being able to advance.
That's Katie Christensen coming in, hitting cleanup, doing a great job after a big win for a change. Also, if you ever pay attention, one of my favorite things about Katie, whenever she says the word literally, she literally. You ever notice that, Katie?
I do because I'm a redneck and there's a lot of letters that I kind of slur. And so there are letters, and a lot of them are the IEs, right?
Yes.
And so I get lazy with them, and I have to be very – I have to enunciate clearly.
Someday I'll share the story of us watching part of the game together last night, but we'll save that for another day. Thank you, dear. Always a great job. Thanks so much, and I'm sure we will be talking to you very, very soon. Go Kings.
All right, go Kings.
Bye-bye. Katie will take a break. When we come back, we got the play-in game, part two.
Yeah, the East version.
The East version. Whatever. We'll watch it. It's like jury duty. Yeah. You have to do
it. We never did our three in the key. Let's find out
how we did. Yeah, three in the key. You're absolutely right, Jason Ross, and that's why you are the best. Look at you, three in the key. And
I'm the best.
You are the absolute best. You are, you know what? You're my turkey sausage.
Turkey sausage!
Also, shout out Nate, who just walked in, who came up to me randomly and was like, hey!
Yeah.
Scared the hell out of me.
Made me feel good, too, to see Nate at the game.
It was Nate. Very solid young man. Yeah. Works out. When we come back, all of that. Bye.
You up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
I think it's important to remember that when we celebrate with class. I think it's important to remember, Jason Ross, that there are people on the other side that are not having a great day today. Warrior fans. This is a sad. You can talk about all their championships. You can talk about all the great they've had. But this is a sad day for them in the beginning of a long, sad summer for them. And I spoke to one after the game last night and perfectly...
Very nice, portly lady.
No. Oh, God. You don't even know what I'm about to do, Chris, and you have no idea how bad that was.
Perfect.
And
love it.
She brings up this lady I spoke to.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Brings up a really good point about maybe an unfair advantage the Kings have.
Cowbells. Apparently, like, ringing cowbells during competition is a thing now. Listen, I mean, how would you like it if when you were trying to do your job, there were people screaming in your ear and ringing cowbells all day?
It's a great point.
Was it unfair? Was it an unfair fight?
It kind of was. Did the Kings cheat last night through their fans? This lady thinks so.
Cowbells. Apparently, like, ringing cowbells during competition is a thing now? Listen, I mean, how would you like it if when you were trying to do your job, there were people screaming in your ear and ringing cowbells all day?
Now, technically, Jason, you're on the Kings radio broadcast. Uh-huh. I imagine at times there are people screaming in your ear near it and ringing cowbells.
Yeah. Knicks fans.
And don't you, you know, it's tough to do your job.
But you go on.
So I appeal to my fellow Kings fans who at best will not see a home game until sometime late next week if everything were to go right. Mm-hmm. Maybe consider when you're attending the game, maybe leave the cowbell at home. Maybe, look.
Quiet clap.
That's
because people are doing their job.
They're doing their job. Look, and if there's anyone, you know, whether it's Chet Holmgren, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, of course Josh Giddey.
Yeah.
Have some respect. Mm. Have some respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-K.
Yeah.
All right. That's your one tender moment for the day.
It's one to grow on.
Three in the key last night. John Tesh, cue him, please. Let's go, and we'll find out exactly how we did in a play-in version of three.
It's time to go straight.
We
could streak.
We could streak. Chris, would you like us to streak, or would you like us to three?
We'll streak.
I'd like for you to give me a second.
Okay.
We'll do the streak really fast.
Let's do the streak
because
it's time to go streaking.
Turkey sausage.
Nostradamus of MLB.
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
You're streaking.
Dave, you're at one. I'm at one. Chris was at zero. You both picked the same player yesterday. Mr. Ruiz.
Ruiz.
He did not start, so he got a plate appearance, though, as a pinch hitter. So only one opportunity. 0-for-1.
God dang it, Estrury. Yeah.
So you and Chris are both at zero. I picked Elly De La Cruz on a one-game hitting streak with Mookie Betts the day before. I got a hit.
Hey.
1-for-2, so I'm at two.
Look at you. You and the King, the winners.
Yes. All right, so you pick.
Remember the song Even Flow by Pearl Jam?
Yes.
Where he goes, sweet and 17 made of concrete. That's Estuary Ruiz. Nobody knows how to say his first name. Don't give me a salmon. Don't give me a bass. Don't give me a bluegill. Give me a trout. Mike Trout.
You want the Mike Trout?
Give me Mike Trout. I haven't taken him all year. I don't think anybody's taken him all year.
Okay, Chris did.
Hey, Mikey Trout.
I'll take Corey Seager.
Oh, Bob's
kid.
Texas
Rangers, yes. Chris?
I will take Mookie Betts.
Mookie
Betts.
Okay, there you go.
I take Keon Ellis.
Nice.
Just
well,
to do it.
See how you did in three in the key.
All right, three in the key. La 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 la. Turkey sausage.
Wait for an hour.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Top three scores for the Kings and their totals. That was our prediction. Dave, you said Fox 38, Murray 22, Sabonis 19. I said Fox would have 37, Murray 25, Sabonis 21. Chris said Fox 42, Sabonis 22, Murray 19. The correct answer was Murray 32, Fox 24, Harrison Barnes 17. None of us mentioned HB.
We didn't.
All right, then we asked Kings made three-pointers versus Warriors made three-pointers. Dave, you said there'd be 16 for the Kings, 15 Warriors, 14 Kings, 17 Warriors for me. Chris said 18 Kings, 15 Warriors. The correct answer was 18 and 10. Kings win that category. Then the random stat. Davey said, game will go to overtime.
Random.
That did not happen.
Almost.
Thankfully. Almost. Chris said that Trey Lyles would have 15 or more points. He had 7. And I need help from the judges here because I feel like I got this correct, but I don't think I officially did. So here's where I asked for the help. I said a Warrior would give the Kings fans crumble cookies with 2 missed free throws. Now, Wiggins missed his first 2 of the 3, but they didn't do the crumble cookies thing.
Really?
There was no meow, 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 you know.
What, there was no what?
Exactly. The cookie monster up there.
So what, you'd have to miss all 3?
I don't know.
All right. I know. We got a break.
To the source? Okay. Whatever. We'll get the answer later.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins, and we'll also see... Oh, by the way, Miami, Philly, Atlanta, Chicago tonight. Cards, A's, and Giants, Marlins on right now, as a matter of
fact. Oh, yeah, let's turn it
on. We're back with Crosstalk next.
It's time for the news of the day.
The latest headlines, the biggest stories,
hard-hitting analysis.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
And now,
here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Hey! There he is. Yeah!
There he is.
All righty then.
There he is.
Uh-huh. Is,
that won't get old.
No, we're going to get towels and everything with it on there. Old turkey sausage. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morrow.
Is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It could be.
You know, it sounds medieval, what you just said.
Yeah. Like,
You ever heard the term mind your P's and Q's?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what it means? Where it's from?
I know it means something, but I forgot.
So back in the olden days, you know. When people, they'd be in the pub, and they'd get a little drunk and rowdy, and the bartender lady or man would say, "Hey, oi, mind your P's and Q's. Mind your pints and quarts." Because they would spill.
Quarts, right.
Yeah, pints and a quart. Later on, we can go through off the air the actual real origination of the F word. You know that one?
You know, we got a show to.
I think you should talk about that all day.
Yeah. What else are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
crossing T's, dotting I's.
Yeah, let's do this. We did this with Katie. We'll do it with you guys.
It'll be interesting.
Who's your game ball go to?
You can only give one.
Only one.
I think you got to give it to Keegan.
Oh. Yeah.
I was going to say Keon.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Katie said Keon. I said Keon, and you said Barnes.
I said Harrison Barnes. I said, I'm thinking with my heart.
He went hard.
It's just such a great moment for him last night. What a struggle bus much of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
Who knew, by the way, we didn't talk about this yet, when it was 8-7 Warriors and Mike Brown is the most random challenge of all time. Like, what is he doing? The run started then.
The run started with the challenge.
That was the last time they had the lead, I think, right? The Warriors? It was like 8-5 or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And I was like,
why are you challenging this? What are you
doing? It was pretty bad.
And he didn't even, if you watched on the bench, he didn't really check with Jordan. He just said, and then after he said, he made a gesture like, I know I'm right here.
Yeah.
I don't need to check this
one. Yeah.
We won that one, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Also good for Jordy. Kings have not lost since he was announced to go to the Nets.
Yeah. I wonder if Mike was like, sit down, Jordy. Yeah, you've already gotten the job.
Yeah, hey, a little too big for your britches, Jordy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still the coach.
You're the assistant.
You know, yeah.
Okay, assistant.
Yes, right.
It's going to be a good show today, guys. Everyone's listening. Everyone's excited.
Great.
Everyone's calling in.
Yep.
I had a guy next to me last night screaming turkey sausage all night.
I heard.
Couldn't understand.
He even called in.
He did.
Yeah, we're able to call in. That was really great. Radio and everything comes in. You okay today?
I'm great.
I was worried about you last
night. I'm great. I posted a video. Jason's on KCRA at 12. I'm on again at 4.
When are you, Chris, doing 3?
Yeah, I'm doing the
I'll be on at
daylight
6.
Savings.
Yeah,
Chris had the YouTube on fire last night with the post game. So Chris is taking
a
little break. But you do not want to miss what I have in store for the Warriors at 4.
Oh, my God.
You don't want
to miss it.
He's going to put a face to it. Oh, my goodness.
You do not want to miss it.
Is it a Warriors jersey with the chest cut out?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that would have been awesome. All right. Celebrity birthdays.
I've seen something like that.
Dude said, no.
I was like, what?
Make your own, dude.
Yeah.
Be creative. Also, your baby. Kind of wrong.
Well, there's a screen. I was going to post a screenshot where she looked at the De'Aaron Fox jersey. She never touched the Warriors jersey.
She went right for it.
But she didn't touch it.
Yeah. It's Allen's baby wash.
Yeah.
She did not touch it.
How about the face of Baby Rain in the post game?
Baby Rain wasn't having it. Was not having it at all. Okie dokie, artichoke. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Crumbell Cookies.
Happy birthday to Jennifer
Lopez.
Aniston.
Jennifer Lee.
Lauren Conley.
That's Janice Lee. Oh, the Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Jennifer Jason Lee.
Jennifer Garner.
Lopez. Oh, that one.
What's
the
in your
Capital
wallet?
One girl. She's 48.
Alias. That's what it was.
Yeah, that's a tough one. She could be 50. I'm going to say 50.
Okay.
I'm going to say 52.
46.
Okay, we've got a correct answer, and it is Chris Watkins, 52.
Wow. What's in your wallet?
Come on. Yes.
Oh, happy birthday, Victoria.
Secret.
Jackson.
Beckham.
Not a real person.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't know.
Ah. Victoria Beckham.
Hard life she grew up. Hard life.
Osh Rolls Osh. Royce. Victoria Beckham is...
Her grandfather was a follower of Marxist.
Yeah, he was.
And then her family got a Rolls Royce.
Right?
It's interesting.
It's not very Marxy. She's 44.
44.
Still got it, too,
47.
By the way.
47.
Yeah, I would say, I'll say 50.
49.
We have a correct answer. And it is 2 for 2, Chris Watkins.
Wow. Big Victoria
he's
Beckham.
Heating up. He's heating up.
Now we'll find out if he's on fire.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday, Norman
Powell.
Norman
Osborne.
Now comes the hint. Happy birthday, Boomer.
Esiason.
Norman Esiason.
Boomer Esiason.
With a name like that.
With a name like that.
Would he have been good as Norman Esiason?
No. Yeah, no. Terrible.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, my God.
How am I supposed to?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How am I supposed to work like this?
I don't think that was very good radio.
I want
to
try.
I'm scared.
I'm always afraid someone's going to bust in here someday.
That was terrifying.
That was really scary. Go
Emmanuel.
Ahead.
Emmanuel.
Lewis.
I see.
Boomer is 67.
I'll say 65.
Mm. 66. Pick up sticks.
63.
We have a correct answer, and it's Chris Verlon.
Oh!
The cowbell got in the way.
Yeah, threw off his equilibrium.
I'd say that's about a 7. All right. 4. You and that guy,
yeah.
And you over
and
there,
him.
And him, and
her.
A little bit of her,
and turkey
the
sausage.
Cowbell, and turkey sausage, the MVP. Light the beam. These guys are next. Bye-bye now.
Bye.